And God called us to the Amazon. The first time I went to the Amazon, it was in 1982. And we got a residency in 1988. So we've been there for a while. And we work up in the jungle with the Urainas and the Kokama Indians mostly. And there's just a lot of things that are a dynamic that's different when you're working in the jungle. You're going up into villages that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't know who Jesus is. So when you get to a village that has never heard about Jesus, how do you present the gospel of Christ to them? You know, they're interested to hear you once they get done being scared of you. I mean, there's been many villages I've pulled into, and there's nobody there. The village is just empty. So we'll shut the boat off, walk up, and just sit down and wait. 45 minutes to an hour later, somebody will come out and start talking to you. And then after a while, and they realize you didn't eat them, then everybody comes out. And the little kids are running around you, touching you, and because they're, you know, you're different. You know, you're white. You know, that, I don't know how far I should go with this. I give a little bit of background. They're very superstitious. The Indians are very superstitious. And white people like me are dolphin men. Y'all ever heard of the Amazon dolphins? You know, the dolphins, freshwater dolphins. There's very few rivers in the world that actually have freshwater dolphins. And they have these great big pink dolphins. And they say white men are dolphin men. That we come out of the river and we steal the children, we steal the women, and then we jump back in the river and we turn into dolphins. And that's why white guys always wear a hat, you know. Anybody work outside? You know, you wear a hat because of the sun, right? Well, they say you wear a hat to cover your blowhole because you breathe out of the top of your head, you know. So when you're in the village, you get to a village that has never seen you. They don't know anything about you. You are so different that people don't know how to react to you. So they'll hide, and eventually somebody will come out. When they realize that that person, nothing bad happens to them, then everybody comes out, and they're so curious, which is a wonderful thing because it opens the door to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I was sitting on this one little bench. It was only about this high, and I had my elbows on my knees, you know, sitting there, and the chief's wife brought me a big bowl of masato. You know, that's that yucca root that they mash up, they chew it, spit it in a bowl, and when you come, they serve it to you. We call it flavor of lips because everybody's lips has different flavors. And it's very tough, but it is an icebreaker. That's what the people, that's their lifestyle. That's what they eat, that's what they drink. And it's very, very common when you first go into a village that that's what they'll give you because that's what they have. And I was drinking this, and the guy's wife, every time she walked by me, she would look down at the top of my head like this. I had my hat on, and I knew what she was looking for, you know. I mean, I've heard all these legends for years. So eventually, I took my hat off and put it on my knee, and I passed her back my bowl, which said, thank you very much. I've had enough. And when I passed her back my bowl, she come by, and she received my bowl, and she put her head right down on the top of my forehead. I could feel her breathing in my hair. And she realized, I'm not a dolphin man. And then everything was cool. We had service that night, had a great time. And we were accepted after that moment. But, you know, when you're dealing with people that do not know, the little they know, they believe. Here in the States, America, we are such a blessed nation because there's so many cultures that have united to form this nation that has made us very open-minded to many things. And we're not so closed. When you bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people, they all of a sudden have freedom, the chains are broken, and they can now begin a new life with hope. Can you imagine living in the jungle, being born and raised, and living within roughly 50 miles from your birthplace, and dying? I mean, your hope is getting up the next morning, going in the jungle, finding something to eat, and then going to sleep that night, getting up the next morning, going into the jungle, finding something to eat. That is your hope. We have one season. It's green. There is no snow. There is no fall. There is no spring. The Amazon rainforest is called the Amazon rainforest because that's what it is. It is a forest that rains. The temperature is in the mid-80s to low-90s, mid-90s, all year round. 85 to 90% humidity all year round. There's only a couple days a year where the temperature will drop down and it'll get cool. The rest of the time, sun comes up at 6 o'clock in the morning, sun goes down at 6 o'clock at night. We're 3.5 degrees south of the equator, so we have just a couple minutes variation. Basically, when it gets dark, the other night it was getting dark, you know, it was after 8. And I'm like, man, you know, I feel really wore out for being 6 o'clock. And then it dawned on me, I'm not in Peru anymore. It's not 6 o'clock. You know, it was like after 8, and I was feeling like it was just getting dark. And, you know, they live in a bubble because that's all they've known. And when you bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden things change. They have hope for a future. They have hope for tomorrow. The family begins to prosper. The houses change. Their communities change. Instead of just being all grown up and you know, little places in the middle of the jungle, all of a sudden they get nice communities, keep the grass cut, keep everything looking nice. The houses change. Everything changes because Jesus is our hope. And not only does he give us hope in our spiritual life, he gives us hope in our physical life too. There's a change that happens when we serve Jesus Christ, a blessing and a peace that you cannot find any other way in your life. Every one of us is born with that empty spot that can only be filled through Jesus Christ. Now, you know, he said the poisonous things, and yeah, there's a lot of them, but it's not the big ones that get you. It's the little tiny ones. You know, sometimes you really don't see them. I mean, we've all been bit at one time or another by something. I was getting into a boat one night, and I got bit in the side of my stomach. And I never did catch what it was. I tried to catch it. It was after dark. I didn't have a light on. By the time I got my spotlight hooked up, that's what I was hooking up when I got bit. I thought it was a snake by the way the pain was. It felt like somebody just stuck something way into my guts. And we think it was a scorpion of some sort. And but we don't know. We never did find it. But it ate a round spot about the size of a silver dollar into my flesh. And I hurried up, went back into the boat. We had our big boat up in the jungle. I went back into the boat. We were building a church. We were there for several days, almost a week. And I went back in and I told them, look, I just got bit. And man, I was all crunched over. So they all got around me and prayed, and then everybody went to bed. Well, I stayed up all night long between the sweats, the fever, praying, asking God to save my life. And in the wee hours of the morning, the fever broke and I sweated it out. So I took some water and I was taking a bath, washing all the sweat off. And when I did, when the water ran down me, the whole chunk of where it got bit fell out. All of the poison had concentrated, praise God, and it just rotted that chunk and the whole thing fell out. Well, about a week later, when we got back to the city, I finally went in to get some medical attention, and the lady looked at that and she goes, man, that is a nasty bite. Give me a couple shots and give me some pills. And it's just the price. It's part of it. Dad got bit on the hand. Vince got bit on the foot. Mom got bit on the hand by a tarantula. We killed that one. But, I mean, things happen. The question is, whatever you might pay, is it worth a soul? I mean, whatever cost that it might take to your life, is it worth a soul? We're working in the Uritu-Yaco. It's 350 miles one way from Iquitos by boat. So the fastest I can make it, and the fastest boat we have is 15 hours. Anybody want to go to church with me? It takes 15 hours to get there. That's our closest church. Then from there, we go into the jungle. So when I go to church, The closest church on the Uritu-Yaco, that's a 700-mile trip just to go to church and back. Now, getting in a boat and going up the Amazon is not like getting in a car and driving down the highway. The Amazon is a river that always changes between high water and low water. You have the sandbars. You got all the debris, the logs. Not trash. We call it trash, but not trash like garbage like you would think here. Our, what we call trash is the big trees and all of the foliage and the stuff that floats down the river because of the rain and the way the water eats the banks out. The question is it worth going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people? These are people that have never heard about Jesus. When we went in the Uritu-Yaco the first time, we were the very first people to ever bring the gospel of Jesus Christ on that river. Now, there's many other rivers that have missionaries that have went in them in some years past, and some that's still going in them now, that they have a knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, and praise God for that. We are doing what God has told us to do. We're reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. But it is hard to believe that there are still places on this earth that do not know who He is. And our goal is to touch them people for Jesus Christ. Bring them the saving knowledge of who Jesus is, to know Him, to have hope in what He can bring, and to see lives change and transform. We do have a little video clip, if we could throw that up right about now. I'll talk through it as we go along. This is our whole family. That's in Shell Lake. This is all of us. We're all in Peru, except for my daughter Shanda there in the front with the baby in her hands. This is our central church in the city of Iquitos. Cindy's involved with the praise and worship. Baby Sadie loves to sing. Her mic is never turned on, but she loves to sing. Vince and Jake of the youth ministry. My dad preaching. Praying for Melissa and Carlos in the starting of their new church this year in Life Changers, our rehab center. We just started this new church. These are guys from the rehab. We also do dramas. This drama was called Glory in the Fire. It was an incredible drama. That's me and my part. These are all the people we had in our drama group. Then we took a smaller version of it out on the plazas, out in the central square, street ministry, our youth event. Just before coming to the States, we had this youth event. Quite a few kids got baptized. It's a very wonderful event. You know, the youth are our future. So we really believe in working with them, getting them plugged in for Jesus. Children's ministry. Working on our property in the city of Iquitos, trying to build our port, get our port put in. That's a big hammer pounding pipes down in the ground for putting the docks and the ramp. All the pipe there is for the ramps. We're going to put a ramp in so we can take our boats in and out of the water right there. Building a house for Melissa and Carlos right there on the mission base. Building part of the floating dock system that's going to be down on the water. There we're sliding it down the bank. And there it is off the end of that barge. It's there with that boat tied into it. Coming down river after an event. This is a new church, brand new in the jungle right now, in a place called Nueva Palestina. Here up in the jungle. This is up on the Chambita River. That was just before I come to the States. We had 60-some people baptized this year in this event alone. This is our airplane project. The planes are going to look like that one on floats there. We just got both of the engines totally rebuilt, and now they're in the process of installing them. That's our email address if you want to write us. This water baptism right there in this picture, that last picture there, that was up on the Uritu-Yaco. We were in service there a month or so ago. And after service that night, this one guy come up to me. He goes, "Brother John," he goes, "I want to be baptized." And I said, "Well, I'm leaving first thing in the morning. Travel 2 days to get up there." Well, left in the morning, all day, spent the night. The next day, we got there that evening, had that service that night to come back the next day. And it was a had to go special meeting. And the brother goes, "Brother John, I want to get baptized." I said, "Well, leaving first thing in the morning, you have an option. Either get baptized tonight with a flashlight or first thing in the morning." And he says, "I'll be there at 6 o'clock in the morning." I said, "Okay." So he showed up at 6 o'clock in the morning. 4 other people showed up with him. We had a class on water baptism, and we went down and baptized them, and I left at 7. So that is what I call dedication. It's what I call wanting to get baptized. Man, that water was cold. That's why that picture looked a little dark, because it was before the sun had broken through the fog yet. It was still, we were way up in the jungle. That's 350 miles from Iquitos right there in Reforma. And, you know, God is doing something. If we will let Him, if we'll let Him use us, He will use us. And we thank you very much for your support and everything that you've helped us with over the years to continue the ministry. Like I said, I am second generation missionary. My folks went to Mexico when I was 8 years old. I was raised there. Now I'm in Peru with my folks. My folks are less time in Peru, more time in the States now. They still come back and forth when they can. We have two of our children, our 3 children, two of our children and their families are also working with us in Peru. That's Vince and his wife Megan, and their two kids. And then our daughter Melissa, married an Argentinian, they're also working with us in Peru. They're the directors. Carlos is the director of our rehab center, Life Changers, Cambiadores de Vida. And they have 3 children, a set of twins, beautiful little twin girls, and a little boy named Devin who's 4 years old. So it has been a wonderful life serving God. The only one that's in the States is Shanda. She's got one of the twins in her arms there. She's in the States and she's living in Florida right now. But it is a privilege serving God. And I thank you very much for believing in us and standing with us and helping us reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also have different training centers. We have a Bible school underneath our ministry. We help many other ministries. I've been in the Pucallpa translating with we work basically with the Cocama, Urainas, and Shipibus. And there's 3 different Indian tribes. There's other ones down there, but them are the 3 that we basically work with. And so I've been out of Pucallpa helping the guys work with the Shipibus a bunch. It is just wonderful to see God change lives. Because when their life is changed, they have a hope. They are no longer destined to just go to hell. They have an option. They have a hope. So we really thank God for that. This morning, I would like to get into the Word. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open your Word to our hearts and our lives, touch us, transform us, change us, and help us become more like you want us to be, so we can do your work in your will. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been praying about what to preach here this morning. And there's just a bunch of stuff that kind of come to my mind. And so basically, if I had to put a title to this, I would say, you know, what to do if you want to quit. Has anybody ever wanted to quit? Okay. Yeah. In many ways of life, there comes times when we want to quit. We just want to stop. And well, number one, if we quit, the adversary wins. You know? I've been a missionary in Peru now most of my life. Been there. Can I say that? Yeah, I guess I can. Being there since 1982 working with the Indians, working with the people in the city, I have had many opportunities to quit. I mean, and sometimes it's been really bad. Has anybody ever been betrayed? Okay, yeah. There's this young man that we trained 9 years, lived in my house 9 years, downstairs. Tremendous young man, serving God, on fire for God, great potential. Many years ago, he left. And it wasn't nice. He waited till we come to the States, and when he left, he took about half of the church with him. That was very not nice. Hurt really bad. Opportunities to quit. But we stood. I remember Brother Ron Bishop seeing me just after that happened, and he knew Brother Jefferson, and he comes to me and goes, "Brother John, I just heard that Jefferson left you guys." And I said, "Yes." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know, it's a really touchy thing. It hurts." And he goes, "I just want to tell you, you never quit training people. Don't quit." We were up north here. Pastor Paul Tucker talked to me, and he goes, "Brother John, I just heard Jefferson left. I seen it on the Facebook." I said, "Yes." And he goes, "I want to tell you, you never quit training people. People might quit, but God will never quit." Just good words of encouragement really helped me. And that year, God spoke to us many times. Every place we went, God gave us a word. And it was like one place we were at, and one of the missionaries come, one of the conferences, one of the missionaries come up and goes, "Brother John, where can I get tickets?" And I said, "What?" He goes, "Where can I get tickets for your conference?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "It seems like every place you go, God's just giving you all these words. You got tickets. You got something special. I want what you got." It was just funny. But since then, it's never happened again. But at that moment, we needed that. And God was gracious and merciful and helped us through them moments. Many opportunities to quit. Praise God, Jefferson now is a pastor of a big church in Brazil. He's come back. That relationship has been restored. I had him preach in our church in Iquitos just this year. Speak with the youth and in the service. So praise God for the restoration that can happen through adverse situations. But you know what? There are times when we feel like we want to quit. And there's things that happen that hurt us. But we realize that when we quit, the adversary wins. The devil wins. In Jesus' name, we are winners. We can become overcomers through Jesus Christ. But as I begin to read this and think about it, I realize that the desire and the feeling of quitting is not only something that is now. It is something that has been around since the beginning. And I have just a couple verses I'd like to look at to lay a foundation, a little base for this. I don't know where we're going. It's in 1 Kings chapter 17. And this is, the story about Prophet Elijah. And in verse 2, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And he gives him a promise, you'll drink from the brook. The birds, the ravens, are going to bring you food morning and night. Everything's cool. But what happens? The brook dries up. You know, sometimes there's an adversity and we lean on God and God leads us. Then we read this story on farther down and he takes him to a place where he's fed by a widow who's going to make one little cake with two little sticks and die. And he leads her to there and they all live by a supernatural miracle of multiplication. And then we go to the point in chapter 19, after seeing all of this that God has done, In chapter 19, for the sake of time, let's just jump to verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he what? What did he do? He requested. He prayed. Requested for himself that he might die. Now, hey, if anybody wants to quit, that's what I call quitting. That he might die. And he said, it is what? Enough. Man, I have had it. Whoa, it is enough. Now, oh Lord, take away my life. For I am no better than my fathers. Man, you talk about a wanting to quit. That is wanting to quit. He has said, this is enough. I've had all I can take. I can't go any farther. I am done. Just get it over with. But we see the miracle of God. And he intervenes and sends the angel, gives him two little cakes and two little glasses of water over a period of time, and he sleeps, and then he goes 40 days. What a tremendous provision from God. If we could make it past the tree where we sit in the desert, where we've lost our hope, if we could make it past and see the provision of God, he will bring us through to the other side. So many times we get stuck in the desert. We walk one day's journey after seeing all that God has done, and we get stuck in the desert underneath the little juniper tree, and we lose hope. We just say, God, you know, this is enough. I can't do this anymore. If we could just see beyond. Jesus, John chapter 6. The disciples are with Jesus. And Jesus tells them, very simple. You don't eat of my body, you don't drink of my blood, you ain't going. Paraphrase John Mortimer. Very simple. I understand that. But to the Jewish people, that was extremely repulsive. And if we just jump most of the story, verse 60, John chapter 6, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? In other words, this is just hard for me to believe. I can't believe this guy wants me to eat and drink of his blood. Eat his flesh and drink of his blood. And they didn't realize that what he said in the next couple verses down, in verse 63, when he says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They did not realize that he's talking to them about a spiritual matter. They looked at it as a physical thing. But it says that many of his disciples right then left him. Because of that word, they left him. And you can tell the state that Jesus was in because shortly thereafter, he asks the 12, y'all going to bug out on me too? You going to leave me too? And Peter answers and says, where are we going to go? Only you have the word. And we believe you are the Messiah, the Christ. So we see Jesus at this moment is feeling a pain of a rejection. When the majority of his disciples left him, he feels that pain. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is praying, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." What's he saying? He's saying, "God, I don't want to go to the cross." He's saying, "If there's any other way to bring salvation to man, let's do that. I don't want to die on this cross." But he ends his prayer always with a fascinating word that we need to come to this point: "Not my will, but thine be done." Not what I want. The cross does not seem to be a very appealing end to my ministry. But it's not what I want. What you want is what I will do. And praise God for the moment when the Bible records even these moments of pressure, even these moments of despair, even these moments of crying out to God, because it shows us that we are not alone. We are not the only ones that have felt the desire to quit. We are not the only ones that have felt the desire or the feeling of abandonment. But our God has felt everything that we go through, and he knows where we're at. And if we would just cry out and say, "God, your will be done," he will make a way. Sometimes the way is not what we expect. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What happened to them? "King, we ain't bowing down to your idol. This is not going to happen. I don't care what you do. Our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow." What a tremendous word of faith. God, that I would have that burning in my heart so strong to be able to say, "No matter what, I will not bow." The king got so mad when they threw it in his face and said, "We're not bowing. Our God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we still will not bow." He ordered the oven heated up, what, 7 times. They threw him in there. Make a long story short, when he looked in, what did he see? 4. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Sometimes God takes us through the fire. The wonderful thing about it is he does not leave us alone in the fire. Sometimes we go through. Sometimes he delivers us from. Praise God in the moments when he comes in and delivers us from the fire. Praise God in the moments when he comes in and delivers us from the lions then. But what happens at the times when we go through? We know because of the word, we can stand on the promise of God that we do not go through alone. He is always with us. In the moments of the hardest time in our lives, we can stand on the fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will never leave us. He will never, ever leave us alone. And no matter what we go through, he is right there beside us. And he will help us through. If we learn to say, "Not my will, but thine be done." There's many things that we can do to help. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, "Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised." I like the King James Version, so that's what I use. I use it because it is very close to the Reina Valera, which is what I use in Spanish. La Reina Valera was commissioned by the Queen Valera of Spain, like 300 years before the King James was commissioned by King James into English. They're very, very close in translation, and that's what I'm accustomed to. If you have another version, I'm cool with that. The living Word of God, in other words, the Word of God is alive. It will touch you no matter what version you're using if you let it. It says, let us hold fast. Let us hold on to the profession of our faith without wavering. For God, God is faithful. You know what that means? Our words. Let's keep our faith strong. Let's keep a good confession. Let's keep looking towards the things that God has already done in our lives. Remembering what He's done and believing that He will help us through the future. See, there's times when we go through moments of pain, but we realize that there's season in life and that we can come through this and we will be where He wants us to be in the end. We keep our focus on Christ. We keep our words, our confession on Christ. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Jesus Christ. Hold fast to the sound words that we've learned from the Bible. Sound words that we've learned from God. You know, it is so easy to get negative. Has anybody ever been there? Negative loves misery, and misery loves negativism. And they just kind of like, they accumulate and become one big ball that rolls down like a hill of snow and just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And before long, it's overwhelming. Has anybody ever been around somebody that's negative? Oh, man. I can say this. We had a friend come over just the other day here in Wisconsin. He'd went through a divorce last year, whatever, and they're having problems. He lives in Ladysmith, or she lives in Ladysmith. It doesn't really make any difference. They live over there. And he was talking, and it was like, I wanted to go take a shower and wash that off. Because it was like sticking on me, trying to. And it's like, God, I don't need that. And I finally told him, his name is Johnny. I finally told him, I said, Johnny, man, you need to watch your mouth. Come on. You know, you're supposed to be a Christian. You know, I mean, get a hold of yourself. Figure out what God's doing in your life. Don't play this. I mean, that negative just grows and grows and grows. And before long, you can't see the beautiful things that God has done. I praise God for my wife. I love her with all of my heart. She's a Wisconsin girl from a dairy farm over there by Sheldon, about an hour and a half from here. And I stole the good one. She's followed me around the world, been in places where most people would have nightmares of even thinking about going, and she's done very well, and I really praise God for her. But if I start looking at negative, this or that or the other thing, man, that stuff will get you down. You have to hold fast sound words. Things that bring us to the faith of Jesus Christ. Things that build us up. Things that help us see beyond the circumstance that we originally right now find ourselves in. I'm not saying be an ostrich, stick your head in the sand and forget about everything around you. What I'm saying is you can rise above what is around you. I love praise and worship CDs. You don't call them CDs anymore. I mean, what do you call that? iTunes, probably. Yeah, whatever. Whatever you're using on your phone now. I'm kind of a little bit behind the curve. But, you know, I mean, nobody has radios, records, You know, there's records, 8 tracks, reel to reel, cassettes. I mean, nobody knows what any of that stuff is anymore, you know? I mean, I had a reel to reel machine that my grandpa gave me, and I had hours of music and Bible on that. And as a kid, it was mine. It was given to me. And as a kid in Mexico, being raised in Mexico, I had it in my bedroom. And I would put one of them great big reels on, and I would listen to the Bible all night long. And it would run out about 7 in the morning. So I'd put it on, and it would go all night long. Great big reel, and just wonderful thing as a kid. Now nobody even knows what that is. I mean, you have to look it up in a museum. Technology's changed, but the principle's the same. You can find good stuff from God even on that. And you look for what God can give you to lift you up. Sound words, good messages. Get your flash drive back there. I'm sure you guys got some. And get all your pastor's messages on them and put them on and listen to him over and over and over and over. So you know his messages by heart. So when if he ever cheats and tries to preach another one, you can tell him, I heard that one. But sound words, good words of doctrine, hold fast to the word of God because it will lift you up. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. And I am almost done because I see my enemy back there is telling me I'm almost done. Talking about that round thing here in the States, we call it a clock. That's one thing in Peru. I don't never worry about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. In other words, don't just listen to it. Check it out. Hold the good stuff. Get the bad stuff out. Watch what you let in, because what you let in is what will determine who you are. When you're starting to feel down, you're starting to feel like you want to quit, you start to feel like you want to give up, watch what you listen to. Careful. Listen to the good things. Prove it. Check it out. Hold the things that are good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. In other words, get away from things that are bad. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The word of God will clean us. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. What it's saying, God is faithful. He's called you. He's chosen you. And he will make a way. He'll do it. Just watch who you are. We are responsible for us. We cannot blame what we choose to believe or not believe on somebody else. So many times it's so easy to blame somebody else. But when we stand before God, we will not be able to blame anybody. The blame stops here. We will be responsible for our actions, for our words, for our thoughts, for the way we've handled what we've been in. So what am I supposed to do? I have found, with many opportunities to quit, that if I stand with Jesus, he will make a way. He is faithful. He will make a way. And I would encourage you this morning, no matter what you might feel, I do not know what you're going through, but I do know that if you will stand with Jesus Christ, refuse to quit, refuse to give up, that he is faithful. Fight with everything that is within you. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Tell yourself not to quit. You know, I remind myself daily that I will not quit. And there's been times when I've wanted to quit. But I remind myself daily, I will not quit. You know, I remind myself daily that I am a Christian. Oh, Brother John, that sounds bad. No, it doesn't. I remind myself daily who I am in Jesus Christ. I remind myself daily that I am married and my wife's name is Cindy. Not because I don't want to be like that guy that coming to church and he always called his wife by a beautiful name, you know, like the star of my life, the love of my life. And the young people asked him, you know, how have you done this? You know, you've been married like 70 years. How do you remember to say all these beautiful things about your wife? And, you know, and he goes, well, in reality, I forgot her name a couple years back. I don't want to be like that guy. I want to be the guy that knows who I am and reminds myself who I am and stands on what I am in Jesus Christ. I don't say that because I'm a weakling. I say it because I want to be strong in Christ. I do not give position to anything that the devil might try to put into me. Why? Because I choose to stand on the good things of the promises of God. We need to remind ourselves who we are. We are overcomers. You know what the Bible says? In Spanish it's called más que vencedores. In English it's more than overcomers. We are more than overcomers. We can do all things through Jesus Christ because He is the one that strengthens us. I choose to hang around people that are motivated believers that will help me come into the presence of God. I choose to listen to people that will help me grow in the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Because why? I realize that when I let my thought process down, the enemy gets victory. If I let myself get involved with negative, negative gets the victory. Now, when I preach first to me. If anybody else gets anything out of it, praise God. The reason why I'm saying this is because right now we are having a problem with some of our leadership in the Church of Iquitos. There are some of the guys that are in the youth that have been giving some problems. And we're working through these problems. And it started before we left, the night I left. And I'm dealing with it now still through the phone. There are things that come to us, not necessarily by our choice, but what we do with it when it arrives determines our outcome. I do not know where you're at, but I do know that God is all-powerful. And that if you will stand with Him, He will help you through. There's nothing that is impossible for Jesus. I would like us just to pray. Heavenly Father, we know that You are all-powerful. We know that You have everything in control. And God, we choose to believe Your word. We refuse to quit. We choose to stand with You, knowing that everything that we might be going through, everything, every problem that we might have, is not new to us alone, but these are things that have already happened many times over. And You have shown Yourself to be gracious, victorious, and help through every situation. And Heavenly Father, right now, we just give our circumstance and our situation to You. And we ask that You would help us. Help us to find the peace that we need in You to overcome, the strength to overcome. Lord, every feeling of abandonment, every feeling of depression, every feeling of wanting to quit, I speak against it in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak the peace of God to come in and the strength of God to strengthen, to build up, and to give hope for the future. Help us change to become what you want us to be. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It has been a privilege for us to be here this morning with y'all. And we thank you so much for your support and your prayers. And we ask that you would continue to pray for us.